The Robber Barons, Jay Gould, and the Western Union. Now Gould is going to take over something else, but he's going to use the same tactics that he'd been using in the railroad business. Shorting stock, creating parallel companies, and basically blackmailing the other side. So here's how it goes. The Telegraph, after the American Civil War, captured everyone's imagination by its magic and speed. In this field, which was one of the earliest and richest monopolies that had been created, this was done through the amalgamation of various small companies during the 1850s into the Western Union Telegraph Company. Now, on its board were such dignitaries as John Jacob Astor and William Vanderbilt. Well, in Wall Street, Jay Gould had for some time been eyeing the stock of Western Union. Man, it's a monopoly already and in one position. This is just perfect. Well, the Western Union directors would have nothing of allowing Gould on their board, just as the New York Yacht Club would not admit him as a member of their exclusive society. Forming an alliance then with the stock market wizard James Keeney and other speculators, Gould began shorting Western Maryland stock. And soon, the bears won $1 million each during a destructive process, while the owners of Western Union grew frustrated. As if this were not enough, with the advice of a technician, a gentleman named General Eckert, Gould set about a telegraph line of his own along the tracks of his railroads, which he, of course, named this new company the Atlantic and Pacific Company. Once more, in his campaign for power, Gould set up the cry of monopoly against his opponents, declaring that he alone would restore competition. Well, this time he has some help. He owns the New York World newspaper, 1873, and basically tells them what they need to write. So this company will then begin, this newspaper will then begin molding public opinion. Soon Gould had cut heavily into his opponent's business, which declined $2 million in a year. Blackmailed, the Western Union had to either buy his company or sell their company. It gave in and bought Gould's company for a reputed $10 million. Well, we've seen this before. We've seen this with Union Pacific. You buy one of his companies and he doesn't get what he wants, and the next thing you know, he makes another one. And that's exactly what happened here. No sooner had Gould sold his company than he struck again. Gould complained that his friend, General Eckert, had not been given a job in the consolidated system and that his own interests were not represented. And soon another telegraph company arose called the American Union Telegraph Company, and it competed bitterly with the other two companies. After a confusing rate war, which baffled even the public, the Western Union bought out Gould's new company. In return, Gould was given a place on the board of Western Union. And second, Gould pledged to create no more telegraph companies. But it was only a short respite. Gould, with stock traders Jim Keeney, Addison Comack, and Sage, organized a third and final campaign. The idea was to break Western Union stock and take possession of the whole enterprise. Gould's newspaper attacked Western Union credit, and by every trick and art of stock market exchange manipulation, Gould forced Western Union and its stock all the while, you know, moved it down, all the while making profits while they were selling on the short side. To William Vanderbilt's complete surprise, Gould turned up in 1881 with control of not only Western Union, but also the American Union Telegraph Company, which he had sold Vanderbilt just a short time before. Gould made peace with Astor, Morgan, William Vanderbilt, as they complacently shared the spoils with him. One could see Gould's hand at the helm of the great telegraph monopoly by the process of watering the company's capital that followed in 1881. A stock dividend of 38.25% was declared. The capitalization of the company was then raised to $80 million, and all three telegraph companies were then merged into Western Union. Now, Gould at this point could not safely walk the streets of New York. He had a detail of plainclothes policemen, headed by Captain Burns, that guarded his movements both day and night. Gould spent most of his time alone in his fortress of solitude, which was the Western Union building. So there is a price to pay with the public, because obviously he remembers the Jim Fisk incident, and this is something that is just going to happen. And he actually has, you know, family, wife, children. They are well provided for, and we'll talk about them when we finally send him to his reward when he finally dies. But we have a little ways to go. But it's, again, interesting to see his stock manipulation and his takeover of Western Union. It's amazing. Now, the sources for this are The Robber Barons by Matthew Josephson, America in the Gilded Age by Cashman, In the Age of Moguls, The Story of Robber Barons and Tycoons by Holbrook. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, SummaHistorica.com or HistoryAccordingToBob.com. Ask a question. Check out the CDs. Check out the souvenirs. And if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you.